I tell you what, it's a good episode of the Paddler's Pod coming up. Before we get stuck in though, here's something to keep in mind throughout the episode. We recorded the whole thing, fancy microphones that Macca and I have. I think we've spoken about it a little bit. And I got to the very end and realised that I didn't actually switch mine on in the recording program. So the audio's fine, little bit spacey because it actually just recorded through my laptop the whole time. And not the microphone that was sitting in front of my face. All part of the fun here on the Paddler's Pod. Cheers, guys. Enjoy.
Watch it. Boys, brace me. Here we go. And go hard. And go hard.
Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.
Welcome to another episode of the Paddler's Pod and an episode of celebration because after years of waiting, the Steelcase Hong Kong Dragon Run reared its head once again over the weekend and for the first time in what I put down to living memory, Mackenzie Hynard came home from Hong Kong with his phone and his dignity intact. Macca, congratulations.
Wow. Yeah, nothing about the result. That's all about... I told you I was paying $0 to not come back with a phone and a wallet and a watch and all the rest. I'm good.
Is it good? True that organisers from the race had to grab you by the scruff of the shirt and drag you to a taxi because you did have a couple of beers when the presentation was on?
We got a bit excited. I'm not going to blame myself on all of this. Cora and I were both in the same boat. We definitely both we were pretty keen to stay, but you know, we've got, you know, huge weeks and huge racing coming up in a couple of weeks' time. So I certainly wasn't I wanted to go out, but my better 29-year-old self got a hold of me.
I still have regrets that we didn't go out in 2019 when the Hong Kong protests were on and get shot by rubber bullets. That would have been a good story if we did get shot by rubber bullets like we did talk about. Macca, congratulations on that. But also, I guess while we're at it, congratulations. Third place at the Dragon Run as well. That must be a good feeling. We're about to talk through the Dragon Run, but I want to know how you're feeling at this exact very moment. We're halfway between that weekend and the start of the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. How are the vibes, mate?
Good. The vibes are good. I've actually thought and done very little paddling since Hong Kong. I flew straight back to Wollongong for my company offsite, where we're all meeting from around the world for the first time.
Gee, humbling experience. Straight back to work.
Straight back to work, no rest for the wicked. But it has been really cool. I got to paddle Wollongong Harbour earlier Tuesday morning, so back where it all began. And there was it was cool. There's probably about 30 paddlers now, ranging age groups, and there's definitely some young blood coming through. So it was really cool to see both the men and the women and, you know, the wide varying ages. And a lot of those are heading over to Perth as well. And yeah, just, I don't know, it gave me a good sense of... sense of appreciation for the
you
sport.
You sound nostalgic, Macca. It's been a long time since you were paddling laps of that harbour in the dark. What is it, about 600 metres round course or something
round
like that?
Trip.
Hey?
You'll take it.
Well, Macca,
I'm feeling good.
Good to hear. And you don't have long to wait before you do head over to Western Australia. You and the rest of the paddling world as well for the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week, the Doctor, and then the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships. We are halfway through the month of November. This is the one that we had circled on our calendars for so long, and it is absolutely flying after the Steelcase Hong Kong Dragon Run on the weekend, and that is where we're going to spend our power plays today.
The Paddler's Pod. Power plays.
This episode brought to you by the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships. It is not too late to get your entries in. They close next Wednesday, so you still have a little bit of time. Now, Mac, before we do get into our 3-2-1, I just want to try and get an understanding of the event this year as well. It's a race like no other. It's an event like no other. They do such an amazing job running it. And this year we saw a new course too. They've been waiting 4 years to have the paddling world be able to come back to the shores of Hong Kong. How was the atmosphere around this year?
Yeah, look, I bloody love Hong Kong. It's say it over and over. Corey and I left and we're just like, we could just come back here forever. It's such an easy trip for us to get to from Australia. There's only 2 hours time difference going from the Queensland that doesn't have daylight saving. So it's such an easy journey for us. It's made a little bit harder that there's no direct Brisbane flight anymore, but regardless, still super easy to get there. Like you said, things have changed up a little bit over there. Obviously, you know, the whole the China rule has come in, but that it was interesting to we thought it was going to be a little bit different, but in fact there was no real difference in anything of that magnitude. The race course was changed, which I mean I loved. I thought it was amazing. It was a little bit longer, but there was so much less side wind and flat paddling come the end of the race. Still the same amount at the start, but that's always going to happen. But at the end it was quite nice to be able to catch runs all the way around and just have a little bit of a flat water paddle. It wasn't involved in the sea school there, where it has been for I think since its inception. So it was a bit of a change finishing around on the other side of Stanley Peninsula, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think so did all of the other paddlers. I'm going to say it was the best year yet. Looking at the times, the conditions, it was spectacular. That's all I can say about it.
Yeah, it was bumpy too, right? Like a lot of videos that are now starting to filter out from the event. It was like a washing machine, but I couldn't believe when I went to Hong Kong for the first time in 2019, like, it's pumping downwind.
It is pumping, actually. Yeah, when you turn, like every kilometer I did was close to 330, if not under. Like, it's proper downwind. Yes, it's a washing machine, and I can understand that, like, you know, we're fortunate, like you and I, and growing up, maybe even more so on the south coast of New South Wales, where you have all that refraction, you're used to those bumps. And yeah, I sort of felt at home. Speaking about nostalgia, that's the one.
Yeah, nostalgia, that's it, Macca. And you felt at home not just because of the fact that you do know every nightclub venue in the city, but also because of the way that you paddled as well.
Number three.
Macca, I got to admit, mate, you had me worried. I was at work on Saturday when the race was on. I logged onto the website and started following the live tracking, which first impression was that it was the best live tracking system I've ever seen in a race. It was not only did all the athletes actually have it on, which I guess is pretty important to kind of understand what's going on, but it was updating live. It was quite detailed. The map was really good. But then I realized that it wasn't working because you, Macca, were about eighth. You were well out the back door. And for a while there, I got to say, you weren't actually moving. Like, everyone was kind of getting further away from you. But as it turns out, that was actually what happened in your race. You flew home from nine pins and somehow, mate, finishing the top three after months in a moon boot. Now, when you were gone, Macca, and no doubt you wouldn't have listened to the last episode of the Paddler's Pod that we very, very gratefully had Austin Kiefer step into the hosting chair once again.
Good man.
The guy does it on no notice. Absolutely no notice.
I think you just ring
jump on at any opportunity. We were ringing to catch up. We actually caught up for about half an hour. And at the end of it, I said, hey, what are you doing now? And he's like, oh, I'm working. And I said, is there any chance you cannot work and you could record a podcast? Besides the point.
Good man.
Macca, you know, I did say to Austin that, you know, I'm actually really impressed with the way that you've been paddling, given the fact that you have had a broken foot with your foot in a moon boot. Mate, you must be pumped to have a performance like that at the start of what is this huge run, the Golden Runway, if you will.
I like that. It's going to coin that.
I stole it from Rugby Australia. I just want to make that on the record now.
I am pretty stoked. It actually, like, you always want to win races, right? But I've got to look at the long-term picture and I've got to be realistic about where I am. On reflection, from the race in Hong Kong, it was 4 months previous where I raced in Hood River in Oregon. And in that time, I went on a surfing trip to Indo and broke my foot. So I'm pretty impressed with myself to be able to turn it around. I did a lot of ergo paddling, which is pretty mind-numbing and monotonous, but I actually think it probably paid dividends. I said to Corey and anyone else was in earshot afterwards, because I was pretty stoked with it, that to me it felt like winning. honestly. Like, it's such a powerful result for me leading into the next part of these races. My main focus, and I've said it time and time again, is this world title. I got third last year, and I want to be able to go at least one better, if not stand on that top step. And I haven't shied away from that. And this is sort of like the stepping stones to get there. And I think I feel like I'm starting to tick the right boxes. But yeah, I guess back to your original comment about me being so far back, I think that high intensity racing off the start, and like as we get closer and closer to the end of the season, these races have, you know, so much more on the line, and there's such a great depth of competition that it's just on from the word go. And I don't have as much racing experience, so yeah, I got a bit of a rude shock, and it was very much a headwind, so that hurt a lot. And I tried everything in the wheelhouse to reset, regather, and you know, find rhythm in, you know, completely chaotic conditions and headwind. But yeah, it wasn't meant to be, and I sort of just almost rode off, which we spoke about, and which has been published on the paddler.news, about just riding the race off, get to 5K, reassess. And I think being able to compartmentalize those portions of the race let me able to, you know, really just, you know, not think about it. It's done. Okay, like, let's see what we can do in the important part. Hopefully Perth is going to be downwind. That's what we're all hoping for. So that was the most crucial part for me, trying to find my rhythm and really putting like my best paddling together to see where I'm at. And yeah, I came into the last bit, and it was I didn't really look around for anyone, and I certainly wasn't looking for Gordon, because I didn't want to know, because if it was anywhere near me, I reckon he would have just beat me mentally at that stage. Like, it's 2K of flat water. And at that point, I was sort of like catching Josh Fenn. And I was like, oh my God, like, I might actually get him. And then, yeah, I made the crucial mistake back in Hood River of catching Mark Keeling in the flat and just moving up to his sidewash, but letting him stay there. And I was like, I'm never going to do that again. It was such a regret, because it's so hard to get over that sidewash once you sit there. So I made the conscious effort to like pull wide, paddle past Josh, and try to get him nowhere near my sidewash. And luckily, I was enough to break him. And truthfully, I might have even been catching Hank, or maybe that was just me trying to...
Hey, don't cross the line here, mate. Don't cross the line.
He did look back, and I was like, "Ooh, okay." But then I looked back and saw the big powerhouse German just motoring along, and I was like, "Oh my God, I thought I was a shoo-in for third, and now I'm not even going to get there." After the race, he's like, "Oh, it's so much faster when you close that baler, hey?" And I said, "Oh, fuck, I didn't close mine." He's like, just looked at me shaking his head. I was like, "You know what? That's a fair point." So that's going to be my go-to, I reckon, if something I learn out of the race.
So a little bit of mind games from you, Mark. You've still got a bit up your sleeve heading into the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. Mate, we are so proud of you. Congratulations on a great paddle. Man. Congratulations on kicking off the month on the right note. And you actually alluded to it there too, but congratulations in helping me turn around what I think to be maybe the quickest race report that we've actually written up.
That was good. That was good.
It was very, very quick online. I'm actually just seeing, for anyone who does want to get an indication of how those conditions were, the Steelcase Dragon Run 2023 Facebook group, someone's just started to post some videos too. Really good stuff from a boat where you can see just how bumpy it was. We have teased the results a little bit. I guess there, we may as well get stuck into them now.
Number two.
We'll start with the women's race. In fifth place was Wong Hock Wing, the local paddler. Fourth was Rosalind Carl, the Irish paddler on her way to Australia. And then it was a South African top three. In third, Milani van Niekerk. Second was Michelle Byrne. And in first place was Kira Bester. Now, Macca, Austin and I were kind of musing out loud last week. We didn't know who was going to be racing from the women's racing stable at the Dragon Run, but wow, that is a class field from top to bottom. I guess the way that it turned out was that Michelle Byrne lived up to her name. She burned everyone on the way to nine pins, about 5 kilometers into that race before she did turn. She won that hot spot. Kira Bester said that she was struggling big time to try and keep up. Then when they did turn and start going downwind, Kira fell in as well out of her ski. But she actually puts that moment down to the one where she switched on in the race and said, okay, I can't see Michelle anymore. I need to try and find a rhythm because, look, I think she might have in downwind surf ski paddling. I think she's had a silver spoon upbringing paddling, you know, at the Miller's Run every day in Cape Town. Not quite as bumpy in Cape Town as it is in Hong Kong, but they ended up coming back together for the flat finish to the race. Michelle commenting that her forearms were completely blown out. So Kira does draw first blood there as they come to Australia. Just on Kira first, Macca, how impressed were you by her performance?
Yeah, I mean, not going there, like you said, used to perfectly groomed run. It's going to be a little bit of a jump in the deep end. It's not to say that she's not a competent paddler by any means, but I guess, you know, she admitted that she'd fell out of her ski. She might be the first person I know to fall out of your ski but still win an international race. That's pretty impressive. I think that for her as well, like, she now knows, okay, like, I'm fine in perfect downwind conditions and fine in the flat. I've proved that at every race across the world this year. Bit of a danger sign, bit of a warning sign going out to the rest of the Australian paddlers, because we believe that, well, not the Australian paddlers, I should say the Australian and New Zealand paddler, Gemma and Danny, sorry about that, but I believe there's probably a bit of a warning shot there, right? It'll be cool to see that match up, and we spoke about it time and time again come the first race of the Shoreham Partners WA Race Week, is like how important that is to get right, because it really can affect, you know, the whole duration of the event, the whole mindset, and then it's leading into the World Championship. So yeah, I'm super excited. I think so is Kira. They're obviously on a long mission. They've been on the road for quite some time. That whole South African contingent from the girls, and then also, you know, Matt, Josh, Fenn and Hank McGregor have all been on the road. It's going to be like a full month-long trip of paddling. So, I mean, they're going to be race fit, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly right. I think that you do mention it there too. Like, it's not just great signs for the quality of racing we're about to see because of the fact that Kira won. But Michelle, we haven't seen her race for a little while now. The fact that she is so fit as well. Melanie van Niekerk's firing too. She'll be better coming back to Australia for a second time too, knowing what to expect. And also to have Rose coming down from Ireland as well. It's going to be really, really exciting racing. And I think for Kira, this was a good confidence booster to make this pit stop in Hong Kong, get the win. Even if she said she doesn't know if she wants to go back, she didn't enjoy the downwind conditions too much. I conveniently left that out of the article for her, actually. But I guess we can talk about it here, can't we?
With freedom here. She actually made mention after the race. I hadn't seen her all before the race. And she said, oh, Mac, I have, I really like the podcast. I was like, oh, thank you. And she's like, I listen to it when I'm driving. So I was like, oh, yeah, I think you and everyone, I don't know of anyone that doesn't listen to it when they're not driving, so maybe that's our next milestone for any listener that does listen to it while they're not in the car. That would be good to hear.
Well, there's going to be plenty more to listen to as well, particularly the way that these female athletes are going at the moment. Super pumped for the next 2 weeks in Australia.
Number one.
Well, on the men's side of things, the top five was Joshua Fenn in fifth, Gordon Harbreck, the German, in fourth, our very own Mackenzie Heinart, a man of our own heart, in third place. Hank McGregor, the evergreen Hank McGregor, in second. But once again on top, it is Mr. November. He has his shirt off. He's posing for the cameras. He's starting to feel good because that's now two wins from two in this month of November. I'm including 20 beaches. What was that, like the 28th of October? 28th. It's close enough. And now he's heading to his happiest hunting ground, which is Western Australia. What a performance from Corey Hill. We do know, and we did say on this last episode, that he likes to get out hard at the Dragon Run and try and break the field by the time he gets to that Nine Pins Island cluster, about 5Ks in this year. But Macca, he did it in a couple of 100 meters this year.
Yeah, he had a go at me as we were driving to the start line. He's like, oh, I just don't want the start to be too fast. And he's like, you always start fast. I was like, when was the last time I started fast, you know? Like, he's like, oh, yeah, true. Maybe not since COVID. I was like, yeah. And then we're like, oh, Gordon will be fast and, you know, Klaus will be fast and there's going to be some other guys that will just go hammer and tong off the line. And then, sure enough, 200 meters into the race, lo and behold, who's at the front? And I was like, I had a go at him after. Geez, you took that out hard. He's like, yeah, I just got this backwash. And then because I thought it was going to be real backwashy out to nine pins. So, you know, I wanted to like make sure I was in the lead. And then it's like, we all thought we turned the boat and it was just the worst, like not the worst, but it was a pretty strong headwind. And normally you've been there, anyone that's raced there, like paddling out to nine pins. Yes, it's headwind, but like there's always swell refraction that's pushing you out there because of how close you are to the rocks and all the little islands around. But that really didn't seem to happen. And yeah, Corey just, I mean, Corey found that rhythm, like I spoke about, in conditions that you shouldn't find rhythm in. And complete tangent, but I always think that paddling into the wind is a much harder skill to master than paddling downwind at like the same level of speed, not the same level of speed, but the same level of like effort and how far you can go. So yeah, I think Corey's just one of the best at paddling into the wind, let alone downwind. And he proved that and made his mark. I think every race that he has done there, he's always led to nine pins. Funny, they actually had a hot spot at nine pins, which is quite ironic. 5K into the race, there's a hot spot, which doesn't seem very, very hot to me. It's normally the person that gets there first with a win over a race. But yeah, it was just too strong, hey? Like that's right.
Well, both Corey and Kira absolutely red hot by the time they got to nine pins. But I guess for Corey too, Macca, like not just the wind that he can take a lot of confidence from, but the margin as well. Like that is a big gap to have over everyone. Not just Hank, someone that he's, you know, done battle with for so long. But hey, mate, the timing chips show that Corey beat you downwind, which, you know, you can complain as much all you want about the accuracy of that, but he was absolutely.
It's Corey's Garmin, that is. From
start to finish. Mate, he's pumped. He is. Mr. November is pumped. He doesn't like saying redemption, even though he once posted it in a social media post. Like, I don't know whether he deleted that caption, but redemption is on his mind as he's going to Perth. Like, you know him so well, Macca. I know he hasn't had a chance to think about it too much this week because he's trying to sort out my tax. But I guess, you know, once he does get to Western
Australia, keep giving him more work. Do it.
CN Hill Accountants. Look, they're a proud partner of the Paddler. Actually, you know what? We might come back. Remind me to come back to. Actually, no, we might as well talk about it now. Actually, can I talk about it now?
I don't know.
CN Hill Accountants sponsorship of the doctor.
Ooh.
You know what? I'm gonna check with the boss, and I might come back next week.
Might come back to exciting things though in the world of paddling.
Well, it's good that someone's digging in as well. Now,
yeah.
Look, for what am I saying? What was I even saying?
I don't know.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Look, for Corey going.
Oh, his tax. He was had a hard week because he was doing your tax.
Trust me, that's not what I'm gonna chat about. Going to Western Australia, like, you know him so well, Macca. How big of a lift is he gonna get out of this?
Yeah, scaringly a big lift, I think. Worlds on Watch, you know, Corey always loves the West, always has always performed there. He's the guy to beat, right? And coming off a win with an impressive margin puts him at, you know, the top of the pecking order, you'd have to say. And not only does everyone know it, but he knows it as well, right? And he's never really been one to let the pressure get to his head, I think, which is, yeah, just dangerous. But we'll be there. We'll be putting our best foot, best paddle blade forward in the water, ready to go, ready to, you know, put up the fight, put up the challenge. I think what you will find though is that these races will become closer than what Dragon Run was.
And mate, when you look at it as well, Macca, like you're racing over the course of more than a month. You know, it's a really long time to be at the very top. I am interested to see which paddlers kind of, you know, I guess how paddlers adapt and how their form holds throughout this next couple of weeks, because it's a really long time. Like you haven't shied away from the fact that you want to be paddling your best at the Worlds. I'm interested to see how many people can paddle their best 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it as well comes down to goal setting, because if your goal is, say, to win the Shaw & Partners WA Race Week or to win the Doctor, if you either, even if you succeed at that, I mean, let's not talk about like not succeeding because that's also detrimental. But even if you succeed at that goal, it's so hard to refocus and go again and get up for another big race. Once you've ticked that box and that goal, it's difficult. And I don't think we should, you know, forgo how how challenging that can be.
Well, the challenge is about to begin. The paddling world is heading to Western Australia for the Shaw and Partners WO Race Week. But it's a mouthful. I've actually gotten pretty good at saying it. And also the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships as well. Macker, I think it's about time we change tact. I think that we need to start speaking about that and try and get a sense for what's happening on the ground over in Perth. And I think there's only one man that we can check in with to do that, and that is the great Fergus Morgan, who was once the fastest paddler in the world. He had the world's fastest 1 kilometer split, if you asked him. He is still going to be joining us on the Paddler's Pod just after this. Well, we've been speaking about it for a very long time, but this is your last chance to get your entries in for the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships, because they will close next Wednesday night. And I don't know if we're going to do another podcast before then. Macca, we're going to have to chat about that. Now, Macca, for months we have been talking to people about the benefits of going to race there, how much fun you're going to have, the community. We heard from James Tompkins last week, who is just pumped to become a dual international representative. Macca, but with all of these reminders for entries, I actually checked in with the organisers, you know, what, about a week and a half ago, and you hadn't entered the world titles yet. I think it's time you got it sorted.
Yeah, you know what? That's on me. Things are busy, but it's no
excuse.
How good
are you just to sit here and lecture the world and not actually sort your entry out?
I reckon you've been lecturing. I've just been like backing up, but slyly, because I knew deep down. I'll own that. I'll own that. That's on me. How about that?
Mate, the numbers, hey, listen, you're not alone. The numbers are absolutely flying in at the moment. Yeah. Australia certainly closing in on Portugal. It's going to be quite close, but this could be the most participated world championships in history as well. And you can take part. It's not too late. I booked my flights 3 days ago. Now, going from Sydney to Perth return a week before, yeah, they're a little bit pricey. You know what I mean? Like I've certainly had them cheaper over the years. But what it does mean is that I am going to be there in Perth for not just the paddling, which I'll watch from the shore, but also the banter and the beers and the event hub and the activations and the sponsor setups, and also, Macca, a live recording of the Paddler's Pod.
Oh, it's happening. All right.
Well, it's happening. I don't know when. Guess we're doing it. I'm actually thinking it might be the Tuesday night.
I don't know where. I'm free.
Except I do think it's going to be at the big tent, at the event hub, the main site there at Scarborough Beach. And I don't know why. And I have no explanation for that one. But we have been asked to do a live episode of the Paddler's Pod. So we will be, in typical Paddler's Pod fashion, putting a very late call out to the world for that. I think that might actually wait till next week. I don't think we need to do that now.
That's way too early. Come on.
We are really excited to get down there and see everyone as well. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be such a fun week, and you can still take part. Macca, when are the entries closing?
Wednesday, next week.
Yes, they are, and now is the time to sort them out if you haven't. It is going to be history. Surf ski history is unfolding right now before your eyes, and we want you a part of it. Well, it is the fortnight that we've been looking forward to for a very long time. The paddling world is heading to Western Australia. It starts with the Shaw and Partners WA Race Week. That is the West Coast Downwind, 2 midweek Sunset Series races as a dash for cash, and then the Doctor. That is backed up for the first time by the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships being held in Australia. It is a hell of a wild 2 weeks in the West. So to try and get us pumped up for it, we thought there's only one man that we can check in with. And on top of the titles that we did rattle off earlier, there is a new one for Fergus Morgan on our podcast today. And that is the interim world champion. Congratulations, Fergus Morgan. And welcome back to the Paddler's Pod.
Boys, thank you very much for having me back on. Appreciate it. I mean, that interim world title was a bit of a piss take. I was just trying to wind up.
Hey, language on the podcast, come on.
Oh, there's been words. I think I dropped a C word at one point on this podcast. I think you're allowed.
I don't even think I swore. Yeah, I was just winding up a couple of mates, Ricey and Boothy. Went out on the world's course, very good conditions, and I managed to pip him, so I've been winding them up since. But that probably soon to change.
Soon to change in what way, I guess? Is that because you're taking the interim out of your title, or?
Well, the actual Worlds will be coming up soon, so I'm sure the results will be a bit different.
Come on, confidence is key, mate.
Yeah, actually, you're right, Macro. I should be pumping my tyres up. Maybe it will stay that way.
Keep it going.
Yeah, exactly right. Fergus, you're there. You're at the centre of the paddling world where everyone is about to travel to. Like, how does it feel that you're about to have the biggest couple of weeks in surf ski paddling history in your backyard?
It's exciting, mate. I mean, I just got off the water from a paddle, starting to see some new faces down there, returning faces. I went out for a paddle last night to the Cardinal Marker. There was pump and wind, and I was with the Saffa boys, so like Hank McGregor and Josh Fenn. It was good to just dice with those guys and see some new faces, see some friends coming back and all that fun stuff.
Talk us through the inside tip. How are those two looking after their hit out at the Hong Kong Dragon Run?
We're just cruising back with the wind, getting some skates, having some fun, but I'm sure they'll both be firing.
How is the wind actually over there? I know there's sometimes a lot of contention about it coming through. I know the doctor used to be in February. They've moved it to November for the more favorable conditions. Are we seeing wind?
It's actually hilarious you say that. I got off the water about 15 minutes ago and it was blowing offshore. So it was absolutely dead flat, pristine afternoon. Lovely if you were just going down to maybe get a tan or just sit at the beach and enjoy yourself. But last night we had pumping wind though. I think the guys that went out last night would have thoroughly enjoyed themselves, and hopefully majority of the race week is like that, because a lot of us have kind of promised a lot of good wins, so hopefully at least some of the races will get it.
Look, for some of the guys who are sitting on the beach getting a tan and maybe not doing the paddling at some point throughout these couple of weeks, as one of them, I don't mind that, to be honest. Like, I like offshore wind. In Perth, it makes the beaches look beautiful. Of course, City of Stirling and City of Fremantle, two sponsors of the Ocean Racing Worlds Week. But Fergus, what I want to try and get a gauge from you on, right, is that there's always a lot of talk when we're in the West about the wind. Is it going to kick up? Is it not going to kick up? Every chart seems to be unreliable. What are you looking at to try and tell if there's going to be wind? What are some of the things you're looking out for? What are you sensing? Because for the most part, it does seem like it's a vibe-based kind of decision.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, you look at the reports and stuff, but it is kind of part of race week, you know. Everyone comes, and I think it's kind of the thrill. You wake up in the morning, you go, like, are the reports kind of still...
I think you do,
like,
more
corresponding
than anyone.
With, like, what the graphs are saying. Is it going to, like, is it like this then? Is it like that now? It builds the hype, you know. It's kind of the wind comes in at Roto first, obviously. So generally, if it swings southerly at Roto, give it 30, 40 minutes, and it's onshore in Perth, you know what I mean? So you'll follow that. But then obviously some days it comes in at Roto like it did today, but it doesn't actually reach all the way to the coast. So you look at several reports, you just kind of hope for the best. But generally it's nice in the morning, and then by about 11:30, 12, it comes in pretty quickly and it comes in pretty hard. So
I reckon you've downplayed this a lot. You seem to be the one that checks the wind every waking minute of the day.
I do. It's actually hilarious you say that, Mac. I literally have seabreeze.com in front of my face right now, and I'm actually looking at the wind, because the wind for the West Coast downwind is meant to be good, but it kind of keeps bloody flickering a bit. So it's kind of got me a bit nervous. But if you look, I think I've got like a 7-day span right now, and most of them have a sea breeze in the afternoon. So hopefully we get lucky.
I need those interim world championship positive vibes coming through from you.
Yeah, that's it.
Speaking of the world title, Sam might actually go back and overrule me here on some of the Shore and Partners WA race week stuff, but what should paddlers be looking for in this world title in the race? Like, well, how does it unfold? A lot of people haven't actually paddled this course, and even more so in Perth. It's a little bit unique.
Yeah, so I've actually only ever paddled out of Bathers Beach, where the start is, once. So I'm a bit foreign to that area as well, but obviously...
Sorry to cut you off. Good to see that you've put your preparation in. Like, yeah, the place is half an hour up the road actually, and you've paddled it once.
Come on.
It's just so much easier to paddle from Frio than it is from Bathurst Beach for us. So, yeah, not many of us would have paddled from out of Bathurst Beach, but that's just the into the wind part. But we went out, me, Boothie, Ricey, Josh Trevithan, like a couple of WA boys, we went out off Frio the other day and paddled about 2Ks out, which is roughly where we'll turn for the world's course. And it was average wind for Perth, and we were still getting awesome skates. It lines into Scarborough perfectly, so you don't have to skate too far out. You don't have to come too close in. It kind of just literally directs you towards the amphitheatre at Scarborough. So if you get any good or like any half decent wind like Perth normally does, it should be like directly behind us. Everyone should be laying back, pushing over runs and having fun.
How good.
Ferg, you've always keeping an eye on the results that are unfolding around the world. What are you picking up? I guess being at one point the world's fastest paddler, now being the interim world champion, like who are your threats, do you think, in the men's, and what are you seeing in the women's race as well?
Yeah, taking those small wins with the interim world champs, but we'll hold it for now. Mate, it's tough. I was over on the Gold Coast the other week, actually, visiting my girlfriend, and I got to paddle with Mac. I got to paddle with guys like Corey and Tom. I hadn't been doing much paddling at the time, so I was kind of getting towed up. But those guys were looking sharp, and it kind of holds true to their Hong Kong race. I saw footage. I think it was Gordon posted on Instagram, and I think it was the start of the Hong Kong race. I'll probably, if I could take a guess, maybe like a K and a half in, and Corey was absolutely hooking off the start, and he looked to already drop a couple of guys. So obviously Corey's paddling really fast. I think he ended up winning that race by 2 or so minutes, didn't he, Mac?
Yeah, don't rub it in, please.
Yeah, so obviously I guess off that, you'd have to say Corey's the man to beat at the moment, but then there was a lot of guys that weren't there, like Tom Norden. I know Riley Fitz is coming over. I think I even heard Murray Stewart's coming over for the world. So, yeah, and then obviously paddle with guys like Hank and stuff last night. They're still trying to scratch that itch and go one better from their previous race. So I think there's going to be so many fast guys, and it's going to be so competitive in that top 10 to 15. I think the results are probably going to be changing for most of the races.
You've done pretty well there, Ferg. I think you've named all the top 50 male paddlers in the world, which is no mean feat. Of course, we've obviously spoken about the leading women's paddlers. We know that Gemma Smith and Danielle McKenzie are going to be towards the front, as always. But Ferg, what about socially for you? You mentioned Gordon Harbrecht a little bit earlier. I know that being a paddle lover, a paddle nerd, some people might say that you were really looking forward to meeting Gordon last year to see if the man is as big and muscly, you know, as he had been described. Look, is there anyone for you this year that you're looking forward to having a beer with and saying hello to?
Yeah, I did get to meet the big friendly giant last year. That was good. Big specimen he is. So that was one ticked off the list. You put me on the spot, so I can't really think of anyone off the top of my head that I haven't met that maybe I want to meet.
Oh, the socialite of surf ski paddling, hey?
Obviously, I've got mates like you guys are coming over. Couple of guys from over east that I haven't seen for a while, so it's good for them to come over, have a beer with, chat with. And then obviously I've got some South African mates like Kenny Rice and stuff, so I'm super excited for them to come over and hang out with them and just kind of enjoy the whole week.
Here's my last one for you, Ferg. When you were last on the podcast, we were discussing your 1 kilometer split time. What was that time again?
Here we go, 2:51.
2:51. Now that Mac's gone under 3 minutes, he's got tabs on everyone and what time they've done. But it was good to see that Mac finally broke it the other day, and I still have him by 1 second. So that's just another small win.
You find the wins, don't you?
As it stands, Fergus, you know, at the time you were questioning the legitimacy of Oscar Chalupski's 2:51 in a V6 with weed around his rudder on a paddle in Durban. But my question for you is that now that Downwind Drag Race is up and running, they're doing outstanding work in collating all of these times, why haven't we seen your time uploaded?
To be honest, I actually haven't gone out in that big of a wind. I've been going for a couple of longer downwind paddles. I'm trying to get some more miles in me because I'm known for not paddling that much, so I'm trying to do a bit of a longer stuff. I'm hoping the wind's going to be pumping in the next month or so. So I do actually plan on going out and trying to drop a quick split. But
what about your 51?
Yeah, can't you do it retrospectively, or is that not allowed?
Oh, I mean, I probably could. I just actually haven't given it much thought.
Now the way he talks it up, you'd think he'd be onto it.
Now that you said that, at like, I think, Mac, are you sitting third?
Thanks.
Right now, so thanks. I might upload my time so I can bump you to fourth. Just a little reminder. But no, it's good to see that page is up. So many people are posting fast times. Like, I think I saw a double go out the other day, or they posted like results of a double, and they did like back to back to back, like 2:46s or something like that, which is absolutely crazy. So yeah, men and women both posting awesome times, so it's good.
Actually, my question to you: you broke your record on the world, or your fastest time is actually done on the world's course. If it blows, is there ever a chance of someone going sub three in a race? I actually don't believe it's been done.
I don't know if it's been done, but if it's good wind, I have no doubt that people will go under 3 minutes.
Oh, you've heard it here first.
I have no doubt. Obviously, it's got to be decent wind, but like given your line and given where you are, I think especially late in the race, coming into Scarborough, you're going to be dropping down some big runs, and if it's good enough, I think you'll see the top guys maybe go under 3 minutes.
Oh,
you definitely
would love to see someone completely blow their body apart in the first couple of kilometers of the race, trying to go sub three, only to finish around 50th. That would be really good.
Actually, that's Ferg's name written all over it.
Nah, I can't go too early, mate. I won't be able to finish if I go too early.
Well, Ferg, I'm very grateful for your time. I know so is Marcus. So are the listeners for those insights. We are looking forward to being over there in WA. I'm hoping that there is a bed there at your home that I can sleep in for the World Championships week. We'll have to chat about that off the podcast. But for now, Fergus, rest up, mate. Look after yourself, because it's happening. The Shaw & Partners WA Race Week and the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships begin in just a few days' time.
See you, boys.
Still rolling. Do you understand anything else?
What else you got?
Goodbye. I didn't know if that last thing was directed at me or not.
I guess I kind of wrapped it up a bit.
Yeah,
too
you just
heavily,
cut you off
I?
after
go,
if
go
you
again,
just Ferg. Stay at your house and putting you on the spot.
Where do you want me to go from?
Nah, still going.
This is
mate,
it.
Still going.
This is a
it's
still a false
going.
Ending.
All this goes on the podcast.
It's a false ending.
Okay. Yeah, super excited for you boys to be coming over and be
this
able
is
to.
Great. We're
what
not
are you guys laughing
out?
At? Did you guys want me to go or not?
Yeah.
No, we do. We do.
You both can get fucked.
Well, he may or may not be the interim downwind world champion, but there is no denying that he is a very funny boy, Ferguson.
A boy.
He's just one of the locals that we're going to be rubbing shoulders with in just a few days' time. Macca, I can't believe you basically started your trip, Macca. You're heading to the airport next stop to get over there.
Yeah, well, depending on when this comes out, I might even already be in Perth.
Tomorrow. No, it's going to be beforehand.
Oh, we did prove this. We turn this around pretty quick, actually, now. We do
turn it around very quick. Yes, we do.
Yes. Thank you, Sam, for holding down the fort. Yeah, you're right. Shit, it's here. I'm on a flight. It's going to happen. I'm racing in what? 2 days' time.
Well, depending on when people are listening to it, you could have raced yesterday. You could have raced 6 months ago. Jeez. Who knows when the world's listening to
this?
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Now, one thing, Macca, that we haven't yet confirmed or even had the conversation about is what we are going to do throughout the week in terms of podcasts and potentially updates as the week goes on. Oh, I don't know how your week looks, but I'm
Are you
going
to ask me on non-live podcasts to non-live podcasts?
I'm actually thinking about whether we do a quick wrap post every race of the race week. And I'm not saying the night of, because time difference is going to hurt me here in Sydney and you need to rest up. But I think that we should make an effort to do every race and break it down as the week goes on. Of course, on the paddler.news, there will be articles from every race as well. Macca, you're going to have to do some legwork there for me too. But we're going to be covering it. Although I'm going to be sitting in Sydney. I have an MRI on Monday morning, actually, Mac. I haven't told you that yet.
Oh, no. Are you all right?
Not good. But you are, Macca, and you're going to be there on the ground in Perth. So, I'll be with you for the Ocean Racing World Championships week. For everyone who is heading across, safe travels. Happy racing. Fingers crossed for the wind, because it is here. We've been counting down to this for so long, and we are finally, Macca, heading west.
Finally, aren't we ever? Well, whenever you're there, I'll see you in person. But until then, take care and enjoy.
Love it. I butchered that last week. You're going to have to go back and listen to it.
Oh, really?
Peddler's Pod with Sam and Macca.